online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog the Podcast. This is episode number 4. Title of the show today is Web 2.0 Defined. Here on the show, we take an entertaining look at the news, trends, best practices surrounding the worlds of internet marketing, Web 2.0 development, and traditional media. And then we're going to focus on how we can tie all these things together to help improve your company's bottom line. On the show today, we have Jason Gibb with us from our development department. Hello, Jason.
Hello.
How's it going today?
Excellent.
That's great. Paul Bordeaux is here as well. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Love the music.
Yeah, thank you. And Matt Charpentier returns from our creative department. Hey, Sharpie.
Hi.
Well, once like I said at the top, the show today is called Web 2.0 Defined. So let's get into it. Let's define it. What is it?
Web 2.0, it's a very broad topic, I guess I would say. It it covers a range of web technologies and terminologies. You may hear things like folksonomies and wikis and convergence, blogs, web standards, search engines, SEO. Covers a lot of ground, but help me out here, guys.
It's kind of all that second generation of web-based applications, or you know, that the technology that move it into a more dynamic, more robust, real software platform, not just some collection of websites that's out there.
Okay. So I like to define it in terms of some of the techniques or technologies like blogging, like user-created content, tagging or folksonomies. These are all common things within
social bookmarking,
exactly, that are different than kind of the older type of web technologies that or websites that we used to see, you know, back in the early days of, you know, the late 90s, the dinosaur,
the real early days. Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, what makes, you know, we talked about a few things. What personally do you think makes a site fit into that Web 2.0 category?
Oh, I kind of see it as a, when the websites move from this read-only kind of marketing-based type of collection of sites into something that really allowed two-way communication back and forth over the site, more dynamic content, more interaction with the community around it, that's when they kind of moved into the Web 2.0. Good example, that's blogs. You know, people write their blogs out there, and they allow for user comments, user feedback, even allow the users to rate those blogs afterwards to kind of let the community have a say in what's out there in the content on the page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, user contributed content is a definitely a big deal. You know, you think of Wikipedia, you think of
Flickr,
Delicious, exactly. Yep. Dig, situate or websites that allow people to contribute and add information and create connections with other people.
A lot of some of those sites that you mentioned, like Flickr and MySpace, and those, I mean, they got a very fast start. I guess the most current one that has the most publicity nowadays is Facebook, mm-hmm. With Microsoft buying 1% for 200 and some odd million, way overpriced, in my opinion. But you know, it. Is Web 2.0, does that also equate to, you know, some of these flash-in-the-pan sites that come and go? I mean, does that count?
I think there's definitely an aspect of that. It seems like it's, you know, some have equated it to the next internet bubble. I don't know.
I've heard that. I've actually heard the term bubble 2.0 a few times as opposed to Web 2.0. I kind of disagree with that, though.
I don't know. There's definitely a fair share of those that have come and gone. I've been creating a list on my little sticky on my PowerBook. I've been creating a list of all the Web 2.0 sites that I wish I had my PowerBook with me right now, but that have come and gone that I've signed up for and have and that I no longer use things like, I don't even know. I can't even think of them now. There's
well,
so
tried,
many Jaiku.
Internally, we tried Pounce for a little while. Pounce. And, you know, I think yeah. Twitter so Twitter, far has won yeah. out over that one.
Mm-hmm. Jot. Just, I have a list of about 25 things that have come. And they're still out there. But just things, there gets to be a point where there's so many that it's just overwhelming. It's like work to keep up with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do get the flash in the pan sites, but you also have them with the older version of the web as well. So it's just kind of a continuation of what happens in the internet. So
are sites that are being developed today, I mean, just by default, are they web 2.0?
Not by default. I think there are some characteristics, you know, a typical kind of brochureware site where you're just putting out information is not going to be web 2.0, but you could bring in some web 2.0 characteristics.
Mm-hmm. Probably the most popular that I see would be them trying to incorporate an RSS feed or try to incorporate some type of Ajax in there. That would kind of bring it into the 2.0 realm.
Yeah. Good place to start is definitely blogging, adding a blog to your site. And from there, you know, it's you can start to kind of grow it by adding additional characteristics.
Paul, you mentioned Ajax just now, so I'm going to let you two developer guys take it for a little bit. From a developer's point of view, what makes a good 2.0 website? What tools do you normally recommend using? What do you like to do?
I guess from an engineering point of view, if you're going to go into building an application knowing that you want it to be a Web 2.0 application, one of the key points is to actually think of it as a software application from the beginning. It's really no longer a website. And one of the big things that Tim O'Reilly talked about when he coined the term Web 2.0 was that it was moving this from a he actually called it the business revolution of the computer industry. He's going to move the internet from a collection of individual knowledge silos into this actual software platform that you develop across. And so if we're going to build something that's going to be a Web 2.0 application, we need to treat it as software from the very beginning, and you need to work on putting the architecture and the testing and all the quality measures that you would normally put into it for a software application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you move beyond static content to something that's a lot more interactive, and it definitely requires a different approach.
Does Microsoft Office Live fit into that category?
I'm honestly not sure.
I don't believe so, no.
Why not? I mean, isn't that like a, I mean, it's not just a website, right? It's a program. I mean, it's Office Online.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good question. Good question. I think that it's, I don't know.
You're talking to the Mac user over there, yeah. So
I'm not too familiar with that. I guess I'm. It that's similar to like Google Office or something mm-hmm. like that,
right?
Yeah, I think that from that perspective, yeah. I mean, those are going to be Web 2.0 applications, but they're more about creating or using Web 2.0 technologies like Ajax, but they're not necessarily. Looking at it from the perspective of, you know, it's really more migrating document management and creating documents and stuff like that on to a web interface.
It's still information driven, not community driven in those instances.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly.
Is a Web 2.0 site made for everyone? I mean, should everyone have one? Is there a reason not to have one?
There's no one solution that works for everybody. So, and that you can't say that, everyone needs to have a Web 2.0 site, but certainly if you're moving into the marketing world here where we're getting into more of the internet applications, you know, marketing over the internet, Web 2.0 does really present you with a distinct advantage.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm a marketing exec. I come to you, I say, I need a new website redesign. I want to sell product X. What does Web 2.0 do for me? What are the advantages of trying to build a site with that technology?
Well, I would say, first off, you know, a lot of the Web 2.0 technologies or Web 2.0 sites that are out there are really focused on things that people can do online. You know, if you're more a traditional company, marketing a product, for example, you know, if that product doesn't have an online component, there's, you know, definitely you have to look at other ways to take advantage of Web 2.0 technologies. So, you know, for example, we mentioned blogging right at the beginning. That's a way that you can create a new way to market your technology or market your product using blogging. You can you know, look at other types of things like you know, perhaps if you have a wide range of products and you need to make it easier for people to organize them. So maybe you introduce some kind of tagging scheme, and then people can tag your products and help each other find the right product for them or something along those lines.
Right. The consumers are really good at figuring out where these products will fall into as far as categories. So what I'm thinking of might drive Jason to look in the same area. So, mm-hmm.
Matt, in your opinion, does a Web 2.0 site always have to incorporate some elements of audio or video?
I think definitely not. Web 2.0 site could be anything. It could be things like forums with people just talking back and forth. It could be things like Facebook, for example. I mean, that has pictures and video now, but it's definitely successful beyond just looking at pictures or watching your friend's video. It's a good way to keep in contact with and know on a consistent basis what everybody's up to without those technologies. So I definitely don't think it has to have those things, but they're fun and people like them.
Okay. Well, we're in the Web 2.0 world now. What's next? Web 3.0. What will that be? When will it arrive?
I guess I have an opinion on it, and I think for anyone it's just going to be more of an opinion. But I think I see Web 3.0 as being more extending what's already there, creating more community interaction, creating more you know, getting to the point where there's more of a convergence of websites with you know, mobile technologies, where you're kind of interacting with more people in more different ways, using, you know, not just going to your browser, but over your
BlackBerry or your BlackBerry. iPhone.
Maybe it's your television, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I've been hearing people discuss, like, what is Web 3.0 and a lot of buzz around that kind of, and, like, what's going to be the next big thing. But I don't even think we are even 10 years away from Web 3.0. I think it's way out there. I think we haven't even scratched the surface of Web 2.0. I mean, you're saying Web 3.0 maybe communicating across more mediums, but I think that's just extending Web 2.0. Maybe that's Web 2.5. I don't know. But I think that's, I don't even think we are even close to well into 2.0 to even be imagining 3.0. Who knows? Maybe 3.0 is virtual reality.
Now that would be cool. I'm pulling for that one, actually.
Is broadband accessibility the bottleneck right now?
That's key. That's key. I think we see a lot of limitations would go away if everyone had high speed broadband. And in fact, even existing high speed connections may not be fast enough for some of the things that people are starting to envision now.
Well, a lot of us that work in the business that we're in, and most of us have high speed connections at home. We also know that we probably have among the slowest broadband available in the world. The U.S. is far behind.
Right there at the bottom.
Yeah, right there at the bottom. So, you know, we may end up taking a back seat to countries like Japan and other places. I mean, even Africa that didn't have any internet as of a few years ago, everyone's getting fiber. So they're looking at probably a minimum of a 10 meg connection out of the chute.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other limitation is wireless as well. We need to have high-speed wireless to make access to the community interactions that you can get through Web 2.0 sites more easily accessible to people and wherever they are.
Definitely, because I see a lot more people don't want to plug in anymore. They really want to be wireless wherever they are, whether it's on the road, in the mall, everywhere has a Wi-Fi hotspot, and we're going to run into that bottleneck because there simply isn't as much bandwidth over wireless right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just going to go around the horn here. Closing thoughts on our topic today. We'll start with Gib.
Well, I think that the technology is created something that's new and fun. And it, you know, there's so many websites that nowadays that are popping up. It can be overwhelming with, you know, like Sharpie was saying, there's just too many of them. You can sign up for so many, but it's, I think it's created this fun interactivity with on the web that didn't exist, you know, 10 years ago.
Matt?
Well, I think, as we all would agree, probably the Web 2.0 is really exciting. It offers, as people have seen, lots of cool new marketing opportunities for sure. And I'm just really excited to see where we'll go with Web 2.5. And
so there's an interim before we hit 3, right? Okay.
And MySpace sucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll kind of echo that, especially the last comment there. But I'm really excited to see where Web 2.0 is going to go with marketing, because I think Web 2.0 is so community driven, so tied to the social networks out there. And I think marketing can really tap into that, and it's going to bring in a lot more. It's going to kind of branch some new horizons here. And I'm looking forward to see where this comes in the future.
Okay, very good. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. I ask you all a favor. Please send me a list of your favorite Web 2.0 sites, and we'll put them into the show notes.
Helps Andy.
Got it. All right. For Jason, Paul, and Matt, this is Lon Keller for Sundog the Podcast. We'll catch you next time, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.